James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Is my creation! Life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well, yes indeed, Guy James here with you. And it's been a long time since Thursday. Missed you all. Yes, I have. And hope you missed me as well. Do enjoy getting all of your cards and letters and emails and so forth. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope to have an interesting show for you. A little later on in the program today, we're going to have Max Lynn, who's the Reformed Party candidate for governor here in Florida. And since I am a lifelong Democrat, as you know, he's running against Charlie Crist, who's the Republican, and Jim Davis, who is the Democrat. And since Jim Davis voted for the bankruptcy bill and various other things, I cannot endorse the Democratic candidate for governor here in Florida. So I will be putting my endorsement with Max Lynn, the Reform Party candidate. So we'll have him on sometime right after 4 o'clock, right in that neighborhood. Anything interesting happen over the weekend? Did I miss anything? Was there any big news on Friday or anything like that? You know I'm being a little ornery when I ask that, don't you? My God. We're going to have to think seriously about revamping the schedule here. It seems like every Monday there's monumental news to be had, and we're missing out on it, so who knows? It's all a matter of funds, I guess, so we'll see if we can't do something about that. But, yeah, we're a day late and a dollar short on this news about Mr. Mark Foley. To tell you the truth, I didn't know anything about it until, I knew Foley was gay and all, which, hell, I don't care. But Friday morning, I was listening to Ellie Mae Clampett. I'm always telling you that has the local talk show here from 6 to 9 o'clock on the local AM station that booted us off because we were too liberal for them. And evidently she had heard the rumors coming out from the night before, and I had not. And she was vociferously defending her congressman, Mark Foley, about what a great guy he was and how bad the Democrats are for bringing this up because it's absolutely not true. There's no truth to it whatsoever, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, they podcast that show. And oddly enough, that part was missing off the show when I went to check on it Sunday, I think it was. So a little bit interesting. This morning, all she had to say about it was, I didn't hear it firsthand, had someone tell me that was she felt sorry for him, and that's all there was to it. But man, oh man, what a weekend. What a weekend. You know, this really doesn't have anything to do with politics. It has to do with living in a country that's being led by honest people who have the best interests of the United States at heart. That's all we ask, isn't it? Isn't that all we want? People who are leaders, who do the right thing for the country, and knowing that we'll have honest disagreements now and then, that's okay. But don't we want people who, first and foremost, have the Well, the security of the United States and her people in mind first. Shouldn't that be number one on the list? Here we've got this NIE report, the huge lie by Condoleezza Rice that we've discovered over the weekend, that she's just lying out her wazoo about that the report that she said she didn't see, and now the CIA says most definitely she did get it and had produced the documents. Now, the Rumsfeld report that you saw over the weekend, you know, Tom DeLay, Jack Abramoff, Duke Cunningham, Mark Foley, the apparent massive cover-up of the Foley incident, the disastrous wars we're involved in, the huge revelations in Bob Woodward's book this weekend. God, what a weekend. This mass of corruption and immorality is building into some sort of an inferno that is likely just to burn the Republican House down from the inside out. And the outright lies and amazing deceptions perpetrated by this gang of thugs and thieves and liars are beyond anything I could ever have imagined about them. Seriously, I couldn't have imagined that it could be this bad. Yeah. Sure, I did predict that Bush would be the worst president ever. And so far he hasn't disappointed me on that one. But I never, never, never would have believed that along with massive incompetence would come this totally unbridled criminality and unimaginable corruption. Honestly, I would not have believed it. Even after I'd heard that Bush was filling his administration with some of the most vile characters to ever serve in government, I still wouldn't have believed it. I guess the only surprise is that Bush didn't appoint Ollie North and G. Gordon Liddy to some kind of high positions. That did surprise me. But, you know, if the American public doesn't wise up and turn these people out in, 5 weeks, then there is no hope for this nation. If we don't turn them out, I think I'm going to give up. If not now, then when? My God, it doesn't get any worse than this. And, you know, this Foley matter, and we're going to be talking a lot about that, especially this first hour. Mark Foley really personally doesn't matter. But what the American public now knows is that the party that has spent the past few years demagoguing safety and security and law and order is now known as the party that screwed up the Iraq War, that has codified torture, willingly and gleefully doing so, that has been filled to the brim with criminals and crooks fleecing the Treasury and who knows what else, and is now known as the party that at its most basic can't be trusted because they're the party that has middle-aged perverts trying to bugger your kids, and even better, the Republican House leadership, and this is the most important part, this is the important part, the Republican House leadership didn't give enough of a damn to do anything about it because it might get messy or it might get in the way of their desires for power, and they actively hid the information from the opposition party and the public. And that matters. People understand that. You can't get around it like you can some other issues. Iraq is complicated, and there could be some leeway for arguments on that. National security is important, and you can talk away some of the disastrous decisions made by the GOP, a simple disagreement. And I think that's starting to stand for grand old perverts, the old GOP. And people are jaded, and they're cynical. And when you point to Abramoff and Cunningham and DeLay and all the rest of the crooks, the filthy liars and crooks in this administration, people are inclined to throw up their hands and say, well, all politicians are crooks. But it's not true. But when it comes to messing with people's kids, it's a whole different ballgame. It's hard for voters to get past the idea that their kid might be upstairs on his computer getting perved by some middle-aged Republican while the leadership of the party of values, mind you, informed of this man's predilections, was just too busy to be bothered. Ask your neighbor what they think of the party that harbors a man who, in his spare time, spends hours internet messaging teenagers, instant messaging teenagers, to measure their penis. People understand that, and that should scare the hell out of the GOP, the Grand Old Pervert Party. How can this be? You look at these names. You start going down through here and looking at these names. Hastert. I don't think there's any question but what now that Hastert knew all about this. I don't think there's any question at all. Condoleezza Rice, an amazingly convincing liar. And we now know for a fact, that she's a liar. Not incompetent. She's a smart woman. She is a liar. Proven beyond a shadow of a doubt over this weekend. Rumsfeld, did you see the program on him on CNN? Has there ever in the history of this country been a more despicable man serving the public than Donald Rumsfeld? You tell me. Tell me. Anybody tell me. Do you have anybody that's a worse man, just a despicable man, than Donald Rumsfeld? Has there ever been one in the American government? And we've got Boehner from Ohio. Majority leader. In this Foley thing up to his ears. Dick Cheney. A horrible, horrible individual. Tom DeLay. Their fair-haired boy under indictment now. Duke Cunningham's cooling his heels in prison. Jack Abramoff soon to be in prison. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And still, there are people that back these guys. It's so frustrating, I can't stand it. Well, you know, so we had a few bad apples. Hey, baby, the whole goddamn barrel is rotten. You may have one or two good apples in there somewhere, but the whole friggin' barrel is rotting away right under your noses. I want you to think about something. If you can, go back and catch the transcript or the actual video of what Dennis Hastert's statement said yesterday. I played this over a couple of times, and finally, you know, I'm a little dense. But finally it hit me what the crux of the matter was in this statement coming out of Hastert's mouth yesterday. The main word in Hastert's statement was that the Republican leadership, and pay close attention to if you watch this, he said they hadn't seen the offensive emails and IMs until Friday. Hadn't seen them. Get it? They knew about them. They had knowledge about them, but they hadn't seen them. See, USA Today reported that Hastert said, and this is what USA said, they quoted him as saying he had no knowledge of them before Friday. No, 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 no. That's not what he said. He said he hadn't seen them. I checked the video and what Hastert actually said, and he said the Republican leadership hadn't seen them. Quite a difference, wouldn't you say, of having no knowledge and hadn't seen them? He knew about them. He didn't admit to knowing about them, but we know he knew about them. But he said he hadn't seen them. And that's the point no one in the press seems to be getting. He'd be able to take a lie detector test and pass it. He'd been told about them. We know damn well his staffers told him about them and other representatives told him about them. But he said he hadn't seen them. So he's not lying, you see. And then we get into the right wing. I tell you, I told my wife on Friday, I said, I'll give them till next Wednesday to start spinning this. They'll hide in their dark holes for a few days, and then they'll come out swinging. And by Wednesday, they'll come out and say, hey, you Democrats, it's time to put this away and work on something positive. Mm-hmm. Well, I was wrong. It only took them till Monday morning at 9 o'clock. And I heard Laura Ingraham. Yes, I did spend some time listening to the right-wingers yesterday. Wanted to hear what the spin was going to be. And Laura Ingraham was first one out of the gate yesterday morning saying it was time to put all this behind us, all this rancor and bickering, and start focusing on what the American people want and need. She said, enough. This Foley thing's over with. Let's let it go. Let's start working on things important for America. And then Rush Limbaugh. I tell you, the guy must have run out of OxyContin, or else maybe he's so doped up he doesn't know his own name. But he just utterly disgusts me. Here's what Limbaugh said yesterday on his show, and I'm sure some of you have seen this or heard it. Quote, I'm just thinking out loud here. What if somebody got to the page and said, you know, we want you to set Foley up. We need you to do a little titillating thing here. Keep it and save it and so forth. How would you get a kid to do that? Yeah, who knows? You threaten him or you pay him. There's any number of ways, given the kind of people we're dealing with and talking about here. You know, Rush, you'd better head on out to your local Denny's parking lot again. I think you're hitting the old OxyContin again. But then, he knows his listeners, and he knows just how gullible and stupid they are. You want to know how stupid? You want to know how stupid Limbaugh's listeners are? Thousands of them pay money to Rush to see him talk on the radio show, his Ditto Cam. Thousands of them. And then the real coup de grace, I thought, was Hannity yesterday afternoon. Hannity isn't as funny as the rest of them. The other ones are funny, but Hannity's serious. He has Newt Gingrich on his program yesterday. Newt friggin' Gingrich. And was saying that this was all set up by George Soros. Newt Gingrich, for Christ's sake, talking about ethics and morals. Newt Gingrich. Do they think our memories are erased every 6 months? Do they? They must. Satan's got more credibility concerning ethics and morals than Newt Gingrich. These people have gone off the deep end. And Hannity says this is also a concentrated effort by the massively controlled liberal media to bring down this administration. Massively controlled liberal media? Oh, you gotta love that one. You gotta love that one. And, of course, we have Dennis Hastert, Speaker of the House, I'm saying for not too much longer, one way or another, says that he's asked the Attorney General to do a full investigation to determine how many Republican members of Congress knew that Congressman Mark Foley was trying to have gay sex with 16-year-old boys working in Congress. I say, why should we wait for an investigation? Just last week, the Republicans approved Bush setting up a network of secret prisons designed to get this kind of information from people who don't want to talk. I think if we submitted these Republicans to, quote, harsh questioning, unquote, we could get these Republicans to confess their crimes. After all, as they claim, it's not torture. It's legal now, and there's got to be some way that you could qualify this as domestic terrorism, isn't it? Of course. We have ways to make you talk. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Love to hear from you today. Going back to that Condoleezza Rice story, and I am just amazed that the Secretary of State of the United States of America would stand in front of the press in a foreign land and tell a whopper of a lie. I mean, supposedly this woman has some intelligence. She seems to. Truthfully, you don't get to be provost of a university like Stanford if you're not a fairly intelligent person. So. We know she is intelligent, thereby exposing just how corrupt she is. But Sunday, she vehemently denied that she ever received a special CIA warning about an imminent terrorist attack on the United States. And she was, you know, she was angry. She was refuting the new allegations about her culpability in U.S. policy failures before September 11th terrorist attack by al-Qaeda. And the reason she was saying it, because she was responding to charges in Woodward's new book, State of Denial. Jesus, was that an atomic bomb dropped on the Republicans? And don't go anybody saying, oh, that Woodward, he's partisan. Hey, did he kiss Bush's ass in the first two books he wrote during the Bush administration? You bet he did. So let's not be saying now that, oh, he's out to get George Bush. It's not the case. You know, what she said is, what I'm quite certain of, however, is that I would remember if I was told, as this account apparently says, that there was about to be an attack in the United States. The idea that I would somehow have ignored that, I find incomprehensible. But, as expected, White House records have confirmed that the briefing did in fact take place. And the records say a review of White House records has determined that George J. Tenet, then the Director of Central Intelligence, did brief Condoleezza Rice and other top officials on July 10, 2001, about the looming threat from al-Qaeda, a State Department spokesman said Monday. And that's not the real story, though. The plot is rapidly thickening due to this McClatchy newspaper report, which says the independent September 11, 2001 commission was given the same scary briefing about an imminent al-Qaeda attack on a U.S. target that was presented to the White House 2 months before the attack, but failed to disclose the warning in its 428-page report. The 9/11 commission left it out. Why? Former CIA Director George Tenet presented the briefing to Commission member Richard Benveniste and Executive Director Philip Zelikow in secret testimony at CIA headquarters in January 28, 2004, said three former senior agency officials. Tenet raised the matter himself. He displayed slides from a PowerPoint presentation that he and other officials had given to then National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice on July 10, 2001, and offered to testify on the matter in public if the commission asked him. There's no question whatsoever, none, that Condoleezza Rice was lying through her teeth, and that shouldn't be too hard for her, lying through her teeth about getting this report. These people will do anything. And I have, as I have said many times on that program, I do mean anything that you could possibly think of, no matter how depraved a person might be. These people will do anything to hold on to their power. And as you know, that word anything covers a hell of a lot of territory. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello, Guy. This is John from Fort Myers. How are you doing?
Hi, John.
About this, the Mark Foley thing, I think it brings, it crystallizes something that I've certainly known about this administration from day one. You certainly have, and you've talked about it a lot. And it's today, it is the only reason I still favor, with all of the problems in both parties, I still favor the Democrats over the Republicans, because no matter how bad an actor someone might be within the party, as long as he or she is in the fold and it hasn't risen to the public has a hold of it, it's always, you know, get behind the team. It's always the team, the team, the team. Don't let the team take a hit. You know, get out there and defend the team. Conversely, anybody on the other side, no matter how good or noble, I mean, demonize them, lionize them, make them seem like the devil incarnate. And it's always the team that, and the Democrats have never, in all of their failings and foibles over the years, they've never gone that far. You didn't see the team rushing in to defend Clinton in the Monica Lewinsky thing. You didn't see the team rushing in to defend Dan Rostenkowski when he was, the fellow from Ohio, the fellow you bring up from time to time, the Youngstown House member.
Oh, Jim Traficant.
Traficant.
And his pal, his hairpiece.
And before him in Ohio, Wayne Hayes with his. You didn't see the team rushing in.
Nope.
To defend these people or to hint at some sort of conspiracy to undo them. They acted like you and I might act if a good friend of ours or a neighbor was found to be guilty of some heinous crime. Our first reaction would, after the shock wore off, would be, "What a terrible thing that person did!" Not, "Oh, we got to do whatever we can to protect to protect all our good names by obstructing justice or whatever it is that we need to do." And that's the disgusting part of this. It's all about the team. It's all about the political angle rather than the angle of ethics. That determines how these people respond to these things. I know for a fact that Bob Packwood, who finally was pushed out of office because he was it wasn't just a womanizer, and he would just attack any woman he was alone in a room with.
Oh yeah.
And I had heard rumors. My job at that time took me to Washington a lot, and I got to talk with a lot of Capitol Hill staffers. And at least 2 years before this broke, they were telling me across the lunch table, "Oh, this guy, he's terrible. He's incorrigible." And so a lot of this stuff is generally known. And I'll tell you, if it comes out that any Democrats knew about Mark Foley and didn't say anything, they ought to get their asses kicked out too.
Sure. I agree. I absolutely agree. It's when Clinton had all that problem. There wasn't a bunch of people standing up saying, "Oh, I'm proud of him and defending what he did." We all kind of slinked away for a while and went, "God, I'm disappointed in him. I'm disgusted with him." I was.
Right. And you saw how that liberal biased press sure backed off that story, didn't they?
Yeah. you stop and think about all the people in the press today who made their careers off of that.
Oh, sure.
Ann Coulter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and Leslie Stahl made her career off of the problems of the Carter administration in the domestic problems. I mean, this liberal press. I mean, I think they're ready to go after anybody who's in a position of power who isn't telling the truth.
Yeah, Ted Koppel made his off the during the Jimmy Carter administration off the hostage crisis. What's that woman on Fox Network late in the evening? She's a lawyer. I can't think of her name. She made it during the Clinton and woman has had the
Greta Van Susteren.
Yeah, there's all kinds of them that made it here.
I know, and it disgusts me to think, here we are, the Republicans are always saying, "Oh, the Democrats are playing politics with the war. They're playing politics." They're playing politics with a sexual scandal that is just beyond all bounds. I mean, it's like the worst of the worst you can imagine someone being involved in, being a predator upon underage boys. And they politicized that. I mean, the level of hypocrisy is, and the thing of it is, the Democrats better wake up and realize that people are angry, and they're not embracing the Democrats. They're just angry at the Republicans. And if the Democrats come, get into the House, and it's the same old stuff, that's going to be a quick revolving door that they're going to go in and they're going to go out. Somebody, don't you agree that one of these days, some politician needs to give us a pleasant surprise, needs us to wake up and say, "Wow, I really like what that man or that woman just did. That was really something."
That's right. If the Democrats sweep in and take one or both houses this year, it's not going to be because of anything they did. It's because they were up against an opponent that is completely crippled. And it would be a mistake for Democrats to think they won on their ideas and so forth, because that will not be the case. And they better develop some ideas. And I know they've got ideas, but they better get out and get them out in front of the public and follow through on them. or it's going to be right back to the drawing board again for the Democrats.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you taking my call, Guy. Thank you very much, and keep up the good work. It's great talking with
Thanks.
You.
Thank you. Good to hear from you. Good call.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, don't anybody make a mistake of thinking that these Democrats right now getting in office. And I'm a lifelong Democrat, and I believe in what the party stands for. But they better get out in front of the public and say, hey, folks, this is what we're for, this is what we're against, and, they better come up with a lot of good explanations and good programs and stick with them. Because right now, they're running against a wounded deer. There isn't any question about that. This is as wounded and just literally destroyed a political party that I've ever seen. I don't know what else could happen to this Bush administration. I mean, they have proven that they're completely, utterly and completely incompetent on every phase of political life that you can imagine. They failed on the economy, the domestic economy. They failed on foreign trade. They failed on health care. They failed on Social Security. They failed on massive, massive, unbelievable failures on the wars that we've been in. Unbelievable. And ethical and moral violations. They failed in every way an administration possibly could, and they've done it not once, not twice, but dozens of times. They've given the American public more reason to get them the hell out of office than any 10 administrations added together that I can think of. And yet still, the Democrats are having trouble making headway. Imagine that. Why, this shouldn't even be a contest. Should be no contest at all. Let's go to a break.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I've always hated Blockbuster.
Target. McDonald's, The Gap, Pepsi, Nike, IBM,
Starbucks, not quite so much. If I'm not boycotting at least three oil companies, I start to feel out of touch. I wouldn't be seen in Nordstrom's or any such. And I hate Walmart. I don't like whips. I don't like chains. I don't go chopping up my neighbor's brains. Don't really like shopping except at the flea market. I hate Walmart. Now you may wonder, what's all this fuss? If you don't like the train, take the bus. Well, I found religion, and just between us, I hate Walmart. Company sell below cost, drive mom and pop out of business. Pretty soon all over the land, one big square store, identical brand, and that's why I hate Walmart. Used to be you drive around, stop in three or four towns, encounter different sights and sounds, different if not unique. Different accent, different smell, different things to buy and sell. Now it's all Taco Bell, I hate Walmart. Bad wine, you drive slow, relax your mind. Never knew what catch you fire around the next bend. But now the freeway goes so straight, it goes right past the pearly gate. I don't feel human, I feel like freight. I hate Walmart. I like to roam, I like to greet individuals on the street. You always know the one you meet is one of a kind. But more and more, they seem to me reflection of something on TV. When we're all alike, nobody's free. I hate Walmart. I boycott Burger King. I boycott New Gingrich. I boycott everything which I've seen advertised. I used to go out for dinner in a diner. Now they say fast food is finer, but it tastes like it fell out of an airline. It's enough to make you weep. I don't like board games. I don't like brand names. They make inflated claims. They're full of bleep. Everyone I meet is a high-tech guy that wants to sell me a digital potato peeler. And I don't like Garrison Chemical. He's so white. Turn on my radio dial. I like to hear something new once in a while. But it's the same old crap in a brand new style. It's audio rape. Still I try to pick and choose. I turn the dial, but always lose. They only play the words rock and roll, and once in a while, if you're lucky, maybe one little rhythm and blues. And that's why God made tape. Used to be we wore beads and bells, made our own clothes in our own way. Now we all wear uniforms at Hard Rock Cafe. We're in a state of sartorial. Spot to pave it over, put a clover leaf over a four-leaf clover, black paint on a white cliffs of Dover, it never fails. Hope you like this song, sing some blunt, could go on, but I gotta go eat lunch. If you didn't like it, I've got a hunch.
You work in sales.
Don't grow your own, make your own, be careful what you own, develop non-shopping to an art.
Impressive crowd, the haves and the have mores. Some people call you the elite. I call you my base.
Oh, it's true. It's true. It's true. It's true.
Call Guy James now. 1-866-546-5254.
Yes, indeed. We're talking about the party of moral values today. Yes, the upper crust, the sanctimonious, the people that protect our liberty and our morality in this country, family values. That's what we're going to talk about today, the family values of the party in power. And let's talk about the family values of the party in power right now, huh? Shall we? Just got a little note from our friends over at Buzz Flash. All of you know about Buzz Flash. And it's entitled, Hastert, Cheney, Bush, and Boner Go Easy on Pedophiles and an Adulterer Accused of Beating His Mistress Half His Age. You would think, and this is all from the Buzz Flash news analysis, you would think that with the GOP betrayal of our youth still red hot in the news, the Republican leadership wouldn't be raising money for a congressman who last year was outed for allegedly trying to strangle his mistress. But you would be wrong. Pennsylvania Republican Don Sherwood is 64, married, and the father of three daughters. But last year, Cynthia Orr, 29, sued Sherwood. It seems Sherwood had been keeping her as his Washington mistress. Ms. Orr says that Sherwood repeatedly struck her in the face, neck, chest, and back, violently yanking her hair and repeatedly tried to choke or strangle her. Afterward, he would tell her he would never beat her again and then beg her not to leave him. After news accounts of this incident and police report were published, Mr. Sherwood issued a statement apologizing for the pain and embarrassment he caused his supporters and family. Doesn't that sound familiar? And he's declined to talk in detail about his relationship with Ms. Orwell. That is no surprise, now is it? Eventually, Sherwood made a confidential financial settlement with Ms. Orr. Sounds a little bit like Bill O'Reilly, doesn't it? Confidential financial arrangement? Thus keeping the case from being aired in a courtroom. He admitted to the adulterous affair with a woman half his age, but denied that he physically abused her. Now, let me see. How many people do you know pay a woman for an adulterous affair when you haven't done anything, you haven't beaten her, and just seems odd. Now he's behind in his race in a normally safe Republican seat, so Hastert, Boehner, Bush, and Cheney are going to bat for him to try and keep the district in the GOP column, the grand old pervert column. They are all holding fundraisers for him and endorsing his, quote, leadership. You would think, after covering up for a pedophile and keeping him in the House leadership and chair of the committee that oversees the safety of our children from sexual predators, you would think that the Republican leadership wouldn't be out raising money for an adulterer accused of beating and strangling his mistress. But you would be underestimating the moral turpitude of the guys at the top of the grand old pervert party. The Republican leadership in America cares about only one thing. Power. They have no other values. They put our youth and women at risk. They are shameless and without decency. And if you want to argue with that, tell us. What are they doing raising money for Don Sherwood? Go ahead and tell us. That's from our friends over at BuzzFlash. These people, and I see a Gina on the chat room just brought up something that's interesting. Even the Moonies, the Washington Times, are asking for the resignation of Dennis Hastert. Can you imagine that? The Washington Times asking for the resignation of their fair-haired boy, their wonderful Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert. Yeah, here's the column from the Washington Times today. House Speaker Dennis Hastert must do the only right thing and resign his speakership at once. Either he was grossly negligent for not taking the red flags fully into account in ordering a swift investigation, for not even remembering the order of events leading up to last week's revelation, or he deliberately looked the other way in hopes that the brewing scandal would simply blow away. He gave phony answers Friday to the old and irrelevant questions of what did he know and when did he know it. Mr. Hastert has forfeited the confidence of the public and his party, and he cannot preside over the necessary coming investigation, an investigation that must examine his own inept performance. Well, I would say inept doesn't cover it. I think we might be talking illegal here. At least unethical. Let's go to the phone. Oh, just as I say we're going to the phone, the line disappears. Hello? That's an odd one. But isn't that something? The Washington Times. And what's it that the blowhard radio guy? Not the real one, the oddball one. Michael Reagan. Michael Reagan. Michael Reagan, for God's sake, is asking for the resignation of Dennis Hastert. Now, that's pretty serious stuff. Not that Michael Reagan is taken seriously at all, but he thinks he is. And, he is a symbol. His name is Reagan, asking for the resignation of Dennis Hastert. You know, when you take all this stuff and bundle it up together, Dennis's little land deal going on up there in Illinois right now, and everything else that's happened in the House of Representatives, the Tom DeLay and the Jack Abramoff and all that. You tell me, what kind of a Speaker of the House has this guy been? Seems to me that the inmates are running the asylum there. It seems to me, well, hey, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Dennis Hastert, from the get-go, was picked because he was a weakling. He was a yes man, a rubber stamper, a guy that would do any goddamn thing the Bush administration wants him to do. That's why Dennis Hastert is the Speaker of the House today. Let's face it. They did not want a strong Speaker of the House. They did not want a Tip O'Neill type guy. Oh, no. They didn't want anybody strong. They wanted a weakling, and that's what they got, Dennis Hastert. And you could not have a more weak Speaker of the House than they have right now in Dennis Hastert. What do you think? Do you think he'll remain as Speaker of the House? I don't. I think this is going to bring him down, one way or another. Now, I know there have been how many things come up that we said, oh, this is going to do it, this is going to do it, that's going to do it. And we've been wrong. We thought Karl Rove was toast. He lives on. Cheney, we thought Cheney was toast. He lives on. Lots of these people have been in big trouble, and we thought they were done for. So, you know, I better reserve some judgment about this whole thing. But I, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, and be sure and remind me later on if I am, I think Hastert is going down. And if he goes down, Boehner's got to go with him. Got to go with him. And Reynolds has got to go with him as well. In fact, there's a whole pack of them that have to go. They knew this, folks. They knew it. And once again, let me make it perfectly clear. Let me make this perfectly clear. I don't give a damn that Mark Foley is gay. Do not care whatsoever. Don't care. Doesn't matter to me. I don't care if all the Republican and Democratic congressmen are gay. It doesn't make a bit of difference to me one way or another. Not a bit. And I might also point out that when it comes to pedophilia, it is no more prevalent within the gay community than it is in the straight community. So let's stay off that one as well. There is no indication that gay people are more into pedophilia than straight people are. So let's just clear that up right now. I don't care. When are they going to learn? It's the cover-up, stupid. It's the cover-up. I swear to God, I have always believed that if Richard Nixon would have come before the American people during Watergate, I swear, I believe this, I know it's true, if Richard Nixon had come on TV in front of the American people after Watergate happened and said, look, I want to tell you something tonight. My presidency has been involved in something we should not have been involved in. My campaign staff and some of my staffers here in the White House were overzealous, got involved in political activities they should not have. I even was even in on some of it, and I'm sorry. I'm going to leave it up to you, the American people, to decide. I swear the American people would have let Richard Nixon off the hook. They would have. I know they would have. And Bill Clinton. If Bill Clinton would have, right from the very get-go, come in front of the American people and said, you know what, instead of wagging his finger and saying, I did not have sex with that woman, if he'd have gone on TV and said, I have committed a terrible indiscretion. I have violated the faith of my family, my daughter Chelsea, my wife Hillary, and the American public. If he would have come out that first night instead of denying, I did not have sex with that woman, I swear that might have been the end of it. I don't think the public would have stood for the impeachment crap that they started after that. Get it over with. You're going to get burned one way or another. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy.
Hi.
Hi. So, this is Michelle in San Antonio, and I just wanted to tell you that, the pedophile thing, first of all, actually, it's heterosexual men are actually the most prevalent pedophiles.
You are right.
It's a fact, and this is very much not a gay issue. I heard an interview this morning with the ABC reporter who broke the story and printed the emails online, and she really did a good job. She said, this isn't a gay or straight issue. This is about pedophilia and about protecting our children, you know? And that's, in fact, what it is. And I know that you could care less that he's gay, and it really is irrelevant. The point is, the cover-up, like you said. It's the cover-up. It's the cover-up, stupid, right?
Yeah, why not just be honest with people? If you're confident in what you are and who you are, and obviously somebody that runs for Congress has got to have plenty of self-confidence, why not just go out and say, hey, I'm a gay man, or I'm a straight man, or I'm a family man, whatever you are, that's me. I'm running for office, and there it is, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, personally, I think that Republicans who run as Republicans and are gay and definitely in the closet about it have some serious self-hating issues.
Oh yeah.
Because, well, it's like wanting to be a member of the KKK when you're of color. It's a club that doesn't ever want you, and so you're always going to be bootlicking. It's just it's sad. It's sad more than it is anything else. And the saddest part of it is the quote unquote moral majority have no morals whatsoever. They're just power hungry and they're pigs. I can't wait to see Dennis Hastert slain in the wind.
Oh, the moral majority has been strangely silent on this whole thing, haven't they?
Haven't they, though?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Guy, I just adore you. I love listening to you. You make me feel safer in the world, and I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And let me ask you a question. How is it in San Antonio today? About 85 and sunny? Yeah.
A little overcast, not bad though, and about 90.
Oh, okay.
Almost 90.
Okay.
The evenings are getting cool, which I'm grateful for.
I love San Antonio, the river walk and all that down there. Yeah, I like it. Hey, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Bye bye. Good call. And let's go over to the other line here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, it's Susan from Columbia City, Oregon.
Well, hello.
Hi. I was going to say basically the same thing as your previous caller, with one addition. The perversion thing doesn't seem to stick to just, although it seems to run heavily to pedophilia, but if you Google Republican and pervert or perversion, you will get the most incredible list you have ever seen. Among other things, some prominent Republicans are people like Timothy McVeigh. I'm sure you're acquainted with that name.
Mm-hmm.
A guy named Dennis Reagan. He also went by the initials BTK.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Ted Bundy worked for the Republican Party in the Seattle area.
I believe in, yes, he did. He most certainly did.
Yeah, I come from the Seattle area, so in fact, while he was still romping around, I was scared to death. And another one, I wouldn't be surprised if Gary Ridgway, the Green River Killer, didn't turn out to be a Republican. So these Republicans seem to not only go heavy into perversion, but also into some of the most incredible crimes you've ever run across.
I think our previous caller had it right. There's some self-hate involved there somehow. Somebody sent me an email yesterday. Maybe I'll dig it out while the news is on the top of the hour. It had a list of Republicans, high-level Republicans, convicted of sex crimes that blew my socks off. I mean,
I've seen it.
Oh, it was one after another. And of course, neither you nor I are sitting here saying that there are no Democrats guilty of the same thing, but it seemed like an extraordinary amount of Republicans.
I've seen it. And it seems like this, they have this veneer of upright.
Oh, veneer's a good
super
word.
Super moral.
Yes.
Type. But underneath there's this running sewer. And that's the only way I can put it.
Yeah.
Nobody, it's like you said before, nobody will ever convince me that dear old, our former Speaker of the House, I can't even remember his name. I hate him so much.
Newt Gingrich.
Yeah, Newt. Anybody who will hand his wife divorce papers while she's in the hospital with cancer That's moral?
Oh, yeah. And while he was trying to have Clinton impeached, he was having an affair on the side. Out there by day, condemning Clinton for an adulterous affair, and by night he was under the sheets with a mistress. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's just the hypocrisy and the sickness that runs through this party is incredible.
Yeah, well,
and it just blows me away.
I know it does me too. Hypocrisy. That's what they ought to start calling themselves. I mean, they're the worst kind of hypocrites. They really are. Hey, thanks for a good call.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Have a nice day now.
Yeah, I think after the top of the hour, we'll get into maybe that list. In fact, I got several lists that people have been, and, you know, talk about, I might as well go ahead and say it. I'm thinking it right. Someone wrote me and said, if Osama was a teenage boy, this administration would have found him a long time ago. I know it's terrible. But isn't it interesting? This beloved president, Junior Bush, the same man the Republicans have rallied behind, rubber stamped all of his legislation, no matter how grossly wrong and dangerous it might be. This man who was proclaimed to be of good moral character, chosen by God to be the president. In fact, he claimed that God was telling him how to handle the Middle Eastern problems. This man, whom everyone said they'd like to have a beer with, all of a sudden, a whole lot of Republican candidates have. The speed of, Carl Lewis when running away from him. They don't want to be seen with him. I've never seen so many candidates claim to have prior commitments when Bush comes into their territory. Let me ask a very simple question. Aren't there only about two people in the whole world that ordinarily people would cancel almost any prior commitment to see? Yes, absolutely, two. The president and the Pope. The idea that a Republican would have prior commitments when a Republican president's coming to town is laughable. Well, only a couple of years ago, most Republicans would have gotten off their deathbeds to come and be seen with Junior Bush. And they would have. They would have trekked across the Sahara Desert, or swam the English Channel, walked barefoot over hot coals to be with the all-knowing, ever-vigilant Lord and Protector of the Universe, Junior Bush. You know it's true. But now, last week, Laura Bush went to Michigan for a $1,000 plate fundraiser for Michigan gubernatorial candidate Dick DeVos. It was all smiles, grinning, and gripping, they call it in the business, and it was quite a nice affair. However, a couple of weeks prior to that, when Cheney and Junior Bush himself were in Michigan to attend a fundraiser for Michigan senatorial candidate Mike Bouchard, DeVos, running for the Senate, was nowhere to be seen. He had, according to his staff, prior commitments. I love it. Republicans all over America running ads, not even mentioning Bush's name, not even mentioning their Republicans. When have you seen that before? Because they can smell the stink coming off the Republican Party right now. The pure rank hypocrisy that exists over on the right is amazing to me. You take the Mark Foley incident, for example. It's been, 8 years since the Lewinsky mess? You hear about the Lewinsky mess every single day. They dwell upon it like it happened yesterday, like Clinton's the devil himself. But Mark Foley, I've heard a couple of Republicans already say, just as I predicted, that Foley's old news. Now let's move on. Remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. And I heard a roundtable discussion featuring James Dobson the other day, still maintaining that Bush is their guy. Dobson said, quote, he may have done a couple of things that we don't like, but he stands firm on stem cell research, abortion, gay marriage, and protecting us from terrorists, and he deserves our trust. Keep on dreaming, Dobson, old boy. Just keep on dreaming. And one more thing. The George Allen Macaca saga. Again, we're hearing, that happened 30 years ago. How can the Democrats bring things up that happened 30 years ago and make issues out of them now? Well, when Bill Clinton was investigated by the Republicans for Whitewater, and by the way, found completely innocent of any wrongdoing by Ken Starr, how many years had passed since that incident? And how many years had passed since the Vietnam War, when those Swift boat sons of bitches pounced on John Kerry? I didn't see any Republican leader saying, gee, this is silly, this is ridiculous, throwing charges at Kerry over something that they alleged happened over 30 years ago. Odd, isn't it? You'd think there was some sort of a double standard here. And I hear a Republican talking head mention the other day that Robert Byrd had been in the Klan. It was 70 years ago, but it's still an issue. But, let's not say anything about George Allen problems that happened just 30 years ago. Once again, the hypocrisy is absolutely stunning. Just stunning. Well, we're going to head out to the news. Don't go away. You're listening to the Guy James Show.
This is the Quality News Network. The conservative Washington Times newspaper is calling for the ouster of Dennis Hastert as Speaker of the House, saying he showed a lack of leadership in the handling of the Mark Foley scandal. Hastert says he won't step down and denies allegations by some members of Congress that he knew or should have known about the salacious nature of Foley's emails to congressional pages before they became public last Friday, causing Foley's resignation. In Florida, Foley's name remains on the ballot, but any votes he receives will automatically go to the man the state Republican Party has now named to replace him. A Turkish airliner hijacked while en route from Albania to Istanbul remains on the ground in southern Italy after being forced to land by Greek and Italian fighter jets. The hijackers, who are protesting the Pope's planned visit to Turkey, remain on board along with 113 passengers and reportedly say they'll surrender after a message is delivered to the Pope. Pennsylvania police say the man who shot 10 young girls in an Amish schoolroom yesterday, killing 5 of them and critically injuring the others, had planned his attack for nearly a week and apparently chose the Amish school because it was convenient. North Korea says it plans to conduct a nuclear test to enhance its self-defense capabilities, a move that Washington says poses an unacceptable threat to world stability and would further isolate Pyongyang. Iraqi lawmakers are endorsing a plan by the prime minister to unite the country through the use of local committees in Baghdad districts and a central committee which will coordinate with Iraq's armed forces. In the meantime, however, the violence continues in Iraq, where 3 dozen people have been killed by a bombing at a Baghdad fish market, and 4 more American soldiers have been killed in and around the capital city in the past 24 hours. In eastern Afghanistan, 2 American soldiers have been killed, 3 wounded in gun battles there. In an informal vote, South Korea's Ban Ki-moon has received the unanimous support of the U.N. Security Council in his bid to succeed Kofi Annan as the next Secretary General. A formal vote is scheduled for next Tuesday, after which the Council's recommendation will be voted upon by the General Assembly. Firefighters in Southern California have finally been able to surround the month-long day fire, which has burned 160,000 acres of brush and timber, cost the state of California $70 million. At its peak, there were 4,800 firefighters on the fire lines, representing 39 states. The editor of the Miami Herald has resigned following revelations that some reporters for the Herald's Spanish-language sister publication were paid by the U.S. government to write and air pro-American broadcasts aimed at Cuba. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll have Science and Business next. It's 2:30 past the hour.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
2 Americans have been named recipients of the Nobel Prize for Physics for their work on the origins of the universe. John Mather and George Smoot will share the $1.4 million prize. The National Labor Relations Board has ruled that permanently assigned shift supervisors are not entitled to union representation. The ruling, which comes from a case involving nurses, is being denounced by the AFL-CIO. A new survey shows that the U.S. Labor Department continues to weaken, with the number of planned job cuts for September exceeding 100,000. 100,000, that's 54% up from August and up 40% from the same period a year ago. The Census Bureau reports that in every state except Alaska, American homeowners spent more of their incomes on housing last year than they did in 1999, 21% last year, a little less than 19% before the turn of the century. Sony shares have fallen due to another delay in the release of its PlayStation 3, combined with an increasing number of recalls of its laptop computer batteries. Light sweet crude oil is trading below $60 a barrel this hour at $59.25. That's down $1.78. And the Dow Jones is well above its record close of several years ago. It's now 26 points above that close at 11,748. NASDAQ is up 11 points at 2249, and the S&P 500 is up 6 at 1136. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter, and the time is now 5 minutes past the hour.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Glad to have everybody back with us. Hope you had a chance to go out and get a cold drink during the news there at the top of the hour. Or maybe you're just a news junkie and you stuck around to hear what was happening. I did hear the Dow Jones was is up to a record level. Let me ask my listeners right now, how many of you does that affect? How many of you that are sitting there jumping for joy that the stock market is hitting a record high? Is it affecting you personally? Have you gotten a bunch of extra money in your pocket? You don't? Oh, but this is a white-hot economy. Okay, well, hey, as promised, let's get right to it. I promised you that right after the news, we're going to have a gentleman, a gubernatorial candidate for the governorship of Florida from the Reform Party. And as you know, this is a departure of what we normally do on this program. We're Democrats, and we definitely lean that way. But I will explain to my audience, and I've explained to this gentleman coming up here in a moment, that I cannot in good conscience back the Democratic candidate for governor that we have in Florida this year, Jim Davis, and some of you that will make angry, I'm sure, but that so be it. His voting record precludes me from voting for him. So anyway, we have with us this afternoon, right now on the line, we have Max Lynn, who is the Reform Party candidate for governor. Max, welcome to the program.
Guy, thank you so much for being on, and I have one request, and that is instead of Reform Party, call us Florida's new third party, because I happen to be registered Reform Party, and the reason I registered Reform Party candidate is because they have the best track record of working with third party candidates. So we are first and foremost Florida's new and meaningful and effective third political party.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people are out of a mind to agree with you that the word new in politics might be a real good thing. It might be just a darn good thing. I'm a lifelong Democrat. I believe in the tenets and proposals of the Democratic Party, but we're not quite what we used to be right now, and the Republicans sure aren't their dad's Oldsmobile either. So a lot of people looking around for a change. And Max, you present a change for people here in Florida. What are you running on? Well, first of all, give us a little bit of your history. Well, I know you're a businessman.
Yeah, well, I sold my business. I've been a financial management consultant to major corporations, and I'm also a certified financial planner. And I had one of the largest financial management firms here in Florida. I sold it in 2003 to a big New York Stock Exchange company. And so the American Enterprise System worked well for me. I was in the right place at the right time, and company came down from New York and probably paid me more than my business was worth. So called it a day. And unlike you, I've been a registered Republican all my life. And I'll share with you, the only two things that kept me a registered Republican was fiscal responsibility and smaller government, and government get the heck out of your life, and the traditional values. And those are the only things that kept me as a Republican. And let me just share with you, as a Republican insider in the state of Florida, a lot of Republicans are just based on that. There's a lot of Republicans with Democratic values, such as medical marijuana and pro-choice. There's a lot of Democrats that are for Republicans that are for stem cell research. So you know what's happened is the Republican Party, as you hit it on the head, the Republican Party has left all its main traditional values. And, you know, I looked at the Democratic Party guy, and you know, I just couldn't in good conscience join them either, because they also have left their traditional values of really the social needs that we need in this country. And in my opinion, both parties have merged into one and simply represent big business, big money, and big corporate interests, and not the people's interests.
Well, it's been my idea for a long time to try and get money out of politics, and you're right. It is on both sides of the aisle right now. It's more heavily on the Republican side, the big money, but still the Dems are taking their share of it, and I don't agree with them doing that whatsoever. That's one of the warts my party has right now. So you've been campaigning for how long now?
Well, I was the president for the Florida Citizens for term limits, and I really wasn't a campaigning for governor, but I was campaigning for I've been the president for the Florida Citizens for term limits for the last 8 years. But to answer your question, I've been campaigning. I don't know the exact date, but I'm going to say 3 months.
Well, I think we had you down in Naples at our Democratic Club.
Right. I was there. I was there with the term limits. That
yes.
was me.
Yeah. Well, I was there, so I remember.
Well, you know, if I remember that, you know, I said at the very beginning of that talk that I was had been a registered Republican all my life, and of course I got the booze. But and I said that I explained my disenchantment with the Republican Party. I just can't look myself in the mirror and be an American history student and say this is the government I'm behind. And you know, when I remember specifically that club. Because when I said, you know, the Democrats really haven't taken the leadership role and addressed the issues either, and I got applause.
Well, you would get it from that club, and not only is that a good club, it's a big club. And you were probably at one of I can't remember how long it was since you were been there, 4 or 5 months ago maybe?
Yeah, probably, yes, sir.
But it's one of the better clubs in Florida and gets the vote out better in Collier County, a red area, than just about anybody.
Yeah, but I'll share with you, Guy, one of the important things right now to all your listeners, and whether they call in or go to our website at maxforgovernor.com, you'll see the issues. We address it right straightforward. And one of the biggest cruxes for me, and I've talked to Republican clubs and Democratic clubs all over the state, and I know there's people are disenfranchised with the two-party system. And one reason, in my opinion, is that, darn it, you have to ask yourselves, are these career politicians? My two opponents have been in office for 20 years. They've been again and again and running for office. And in my opinion, as an American history student, they're so busy running for office and making a career out of politics, they end up serving the government itself. They serve the special interests. They serve the big money interests who fund them and put them in office. I'm not going to say they're bad people. They're just caught up in a bad system that's broken. And that's why the third party system, we're not taking any money from special interests or big corporations. We don't want to make a career out of politics. We want to serve our communities, whether it's at the state or national level, and then return home and live under the laws you've made. Too many people on the Republican and Democratic side, in my opinion, they're putting themselves before service. We're supposed to put our service before ourselves, and that's just not happening.
Well, you've got a couple of things that you're backing that I couldn't be more for. Your platform suggesting raising starting teacher pay to $50,000 a year. To me, there is no one more important than school teachers.
Right. You know, that's the if we look at us not only as a state but as a nation, the great equalizer is education. And this campaign has forced me to really dig into the issues. And across the board, all the testing that's done, whether for the FCAT, against the FCAT, whether it's for the Bright Future Scholarships, and all the details of the education research, but no one, there's not one study that disagrees that the number one thing in education for good, solid education is good, qualified teachers. That's number one in every study. They can all disagree about certain things, but there's no one that disagrees that the quality teacher is paramount. And you know, darn it, we're right across the street in Georgia. They're paying the teachers $5,000 or more, plus they don't have the property tax problems, plus they don't have the insurance problem. So you're talking about probably a $10,000 turn for teachers. So if someone, you know, loves to teach and has a passion for teaching, and they're saying, you know, I can go right across the state, and I don't have to deal, and I get an extra $10,000 in my pocket, plus I don't have to worry about hurricanes, you know, that's why Florida is challenged in attracting and keeping quality teachers, and we have to. We have to pay them more.
Well, challenged is the word. I mean, actually, the state of Georgia and other states actually come in over our borders and recruit teachers, right? Right.
Well, of course, and the teachers go. I mean, think if you were teaching, you don't need to put up with all this FCAT stuff, and then you got hurricanes, the insurance crisis, and Charlie Crist. Here's the funny thing. You know, if people really look at this, and this is just the amazing thing to me anyway, Charlie Crist is from St. Petersburg. I personally know Charlie. He's a nice guy. He's been in politics for over 20 years. He was the education commissioner. Education is in a tangled web. And then the last 4 years as attorney general, he was on one of three people on the cabinet that oversees the insurance debacle. So he's been at the head of the insurance situation and the head of education for the last 8 years. Those are our two biggest tangles, and everybody loves him. It's amazing. But what it tells me is big business loves him because they know when they get in there. That's why the insurance companies, the oil companies, the pharmaceutical companies, the big developers, they're raising tens of millions of dollars for him because they know that it'll be business as usual with Charlie in office.
Well, they've run amok. The insurance businesses have absolutely run amok. In fact, the insurance companies are going to be driving a lot of people out of Florida. I know many, many people where I live where people are going to be bailing from Florida.
You know, Guy, I'll share that with you. You know, I'm as traveling throughout the state. The statistics talk about how many people are piling into Florida, and there could be people coming to Florida. I'm not going to deny that, but let me tell you a fact. There are a lot of people leaving Florida saying, I don't need to deal with this. You've got a lot of retirees and people making a two-wager income saying, you know what? This insurance crisis has doubled and tripled my insurance bill. The property taxes are going outrageous. And then on top of that, I have to deal with the hurricanes. I just don't need the headaches. I'm leaving Florida. So I think you're going to see a huge correction in the real estate market. And, Floridians, darn it, Floridians and Americans, what are we thinking? What kind of future are we leaving our children where we're sitting here in a situation where we have a Republican and Democratic party that has merged into one, darn it, and are putting the special interest and big business ahead of the people's interest? And it shows everywhere you look, the corporations are flourishing and middle-income people are losing their homes.
Well, one of the questions, I couldn't agree more about the insurance and the school teachers. Folks around the country, if you don't understand what our situation here is in Florida, we actually have a situation here in Florida, particularly where I live. And I don't know about where you live, Max, but you could have a household with two teachers in it that could not afford to buy a home where I live.
Well, that's right. That's why, you know, and I'll to all your listeners, you've got go to our website, and here's my little promo pitch at maxforgovernor.com, and see why our party is growing percentage-wise every single day, and we're going to split this two-party system, but I need your listeners to go to our websites, look at our platform, and then tell their friends, because we can't compete with Charlie Crist, who may raise up between $35 to $50 million from special interest in big business. We need people to stand up and say, hey, this is a serious situation here in Florida and in America.
Well, he'll raise whatever's necessary. I don't think there's any question. He may set a record for a gubernatorial campaign.
Oh, he will. That's already a given.
Yeah. And where's his money coming from?
Primarily big developers. So you're going to see a lot of development. Donald Trump is flying him around on his private jet and doing fundraisers for Charlie. So you're going to see a lot of casino gambling and more development. Development hasn't even – it's unbelievable. But I think as the real estate market perhaps slows down, you're going to see the big push. The big push, in my opinion, is going to be casino legalized gambling through Florida, which is, in my opinion, disastrous to a lot of families trying to make it because they all want that false hope of gambling. But also the insurance industry is big with Charlie, so are the oil companies and the pharmaceutical companies. And I'll share this with you, Guy. You know what? To a large extent, the people, you know, there's an old adage. You get out of something how much time and effort you put into it. And as I saw this one guy on the commercial, he said, you know what? I put in so much more time watering my yard than I do paying attention to politics. No wonder that we're in a crisis. And a lot of people, I think, fit that because for so long, I feel that people have been disenfranchised and bored with it because they really don't see the difference between the two. It doesn't matter if I elect Jim Davis or Charlie Crist. What's really going to change? Is there really going to be any difference between the two? Probably not. It's going to be business as usual. Everything's going to get easier for the corporations. Everything's going to get tougher for the middle-income people. We're going to build more prisons and stuff more middle-income, low-income people into the jails. You know, and that's not what America's about.
Well, particularly in Florida. Particularly in Florida. Our candidates really do seem to be of one party. Even the senators here in our state both seem to be of one party, although they're one Democrat and one Republican. You would not know it, and you would not know it.
You can't tell the difference, no.
No, you can't tell it between Charlie Crist and Jim Davis either. One thing I wanted to ask you about, and it's probably controversial, but I believe if you're your candidate for office, you ought to be completely upfront with people. You ought to put it right out there on the line.
Here's the reason why they can't, because they have too much corporate money betting on them, so they have to juggle it. On the other hand, I have no corporate money. I'm just calling it everything you ask me, whether you agree or disagree. I'm speaking from my heart with conviction and what I believe in, and so you get straight answers. But what were you going to ask me?
All right, I'll give me a straight answer. Is Charlie Crist being completely upfront about his personal life with us?
Well, no, he's not. You know, I've known Charlie a long time. I've known Charlie for over 20 years, and he's a nice guy. But eventually that news is going to break that he's gay, and, you know, one of his relationships is going to come out. It's going to happen, whether it's before the election now or after he's in. But it's eventually going to surface. It's not a question of it's just a question of when. And, my platform on gay rights is the most liberal of all my candidates. I'm for civil unions and gay adoption and equal rights to all men and women,
sure,
no matter what. That's what America's about. But what the issue is about is integrity. It's about being honest. And most importantly, in James McGreevy's book, The Confessions of a Governor Being Gay, when he lied about it for 20 years, as he points out, the biggest case is extortion and bribery. And I don't think in a post 9/11 that we should take those risks. And that's going to come out. And it's just a matter of when.
Well, you're right about the extortion and the bribery and not being honest and causing your party trouble and so forth. Does he not have a long time connection with the gentleman we've heard a lot about over the weekend?
I do not know that.
Okay.
I am not aware of that. I'm from St. Petersburg. Charlie's from St. Pete. We were in a 4-month class together, Leadership St. Pete. I've contributed to Charlie's campaign in the past. I've put signs up in yards for him. I've raised money for the Republican Party. Charlie's a nice guy. And, you know, when I was part of that Republican Party just doing business as usual, and I have to confess I was guilty too, because I really didn't care about anything except the party women, party winning and making the contacts and doing business as usual. And unfortunately, it came to a point, and I think really a cornerstone for me was this whole George W. Bush, who I'll share with the listeners, I supported him when he first ran, but then as this grew, unfortunately, I think George W., we just have a real different point of view, and I think from a historical standpoint, he could run a close first place to, in my opinion, possibly being the worst president in the history of America. He is completely defusing our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and now we want legalized torturing. I don't know what the hell is happening to this country, but the people are going to have to stand up, take notice, and get active. Just like that guy said, you're going to have to spend more time in politics than you do watering your yard. And a lot of people, I go around the state and they say, well, I don't like politics. I'm not involved in politics. And I say, yes, you are. Every man and woman listening to this show right now is involved in politics. You better bet on it, because it's affecting your taxes, it's affecting your schools, it's affecting your cars, it's affecting every segment of your life. And unless we, the people, start standing up and taking back what is ours, which is our government, we're going to settle for what we put our time into.
Exactly.
And we're not putting time into it.
I agree. That watering the yard analogy is a darn good one, and it's oh so true. So many people vote on sound bites and headlines, and it's a shame they don't take the time to dig deep and find out all about their candidates and what they stand for. I dare say at least half the people that vote nowadays don't know anything more than the party of who they're voting for, and that's just a terrible shame.
From a historical standpoint, unfortunately, societies don't make major changes until there's an economic collapse.
Yep.
I'm out here beating the drum saying, do we really have to wait that long? Do we really have to collapse economically? How bad does it have to get before people stand up and say, you know what, we can do better than this? So I'd appreciate it. And a request I would have is, as you do your show for the rest of the month, let people know we're out there. And I'm not saying, gee, vote for me because I'm better. I'm saying go to our website, and if you like what you see, then vote for us and tell your friends about us.
Well, I'm trying to think of a good way to say this. I heard of a big negative about you.
Well, I'm all ears.
Yeah.
Don't let my mother know, though. Go ahead.
Said you're too honest. said you're too honest.
Thank you. You know, I had a Republican strategist. He says, Max, you got to learn one thing. Being honest is not politically correct anymore.
Yeah, well, it's...
The thing is, you know, at the end of the day, I know that I only have to, on November 8th and for the rest of my life, I only have to look one person eye to eye in the mirror, and that's me. And, you know, first and foremost, I'm going to be true to myself, speak my convictions, and so that's what we're all about.
Well, that's a breath of fresh air nowadays. It's an overused term, but it most certainly is. And
let me share with you, as a Democrat, as you being a Democrat and a lot of Democratic listeners, there are a lot of Republicans that are fed up with the Republican Party, but they feel the Democratic Party is just pure socialism and not much difference, and they can't join it. And I'm going to share with you that in my opinion, there's a lot of Democrats who are disenfranchised with the Democratic Party, but they sure can't join the Republican Party now, which has turned into a right-wing religious party. Religion was supposed to be separation of church and state. So let me tell you, there's a lot of disenfranchised, there's a lot of people that are just fed up with both parties, and that's why I know there's an ill wind blowing. We're just hoisting the sail and catching that wind.
Well, if both parties continue to act as they do, and although I say I'm a lifelong Democrat, I very, very often I say I'm an equal opportunity basher on this program because I have let my Democrats have it very hard many times.
But here's the catch. Here's what your Democrat. Here's, in my opinion, where what people are overlooking, and you might be, and I say this respectfully, you might be overlooking also, the Democratic Party is part of the system. The Republican Party is part of the system. It's the system. It's not Democrats. They're not. They've turned into a team, and the two teams are the Republican and Democratic Party that have basically merged into one. And it's about big money and big corporations. The rest are just sound bites. And if you look at your Democrats, they have a wide open opportunity to step up to the table during the last 4 years at the state and national level, and they're not doing it. And the reason they're not doing it is because they're not allowed to, because their team has merged into one. It's big business, and big business doesn't want a lot of commotion and change. The change has to come from outside the two-party system. The two-party system is happy with themselves because they have control of all of it, and it's just business as usual. Whether Jim Davis gets whoever, Republican or Democrat, gets in, it's just business as usual. I will interrupt that big business and bring the people's interest to Tallahassee. Count on it.
Well, I've said for a long time on this program that one of the best things that could be done in this country is to take a couple of big D9 Caterpillar dozers down K Street and turn it into a park. That's exactly. And also, term limits. I know you have a stand on term limits.
Well, I've been the president for the last 10 years, so I'm a term limiter because I want people to, Republicans and Democrats and third-party people, to go to all. I want the mindset change from serving oneself to service of others. And if you're going into the game saying, I want to make this a career, it's the whole mindset thing. You can't make it a career. You should be serving and going out and making a living in the private sector, not off the taxpayer's dollar.
Well, if we get people serving and then going home, we're going to keep getting fresh people in. And when fresh people come in, they come in with fresh ideas and a total realization of what things are like in the real world instead of just inside the Beltway and inside in Tallahassee. So, well, all right. Hey, Max, I wish you the very best of luck. We will keep talking about your campaign.
Okay. I'll tell you what, if I can close a two-minute close on what I have put together, and I call it the baloney speech.
Yes, I have, but it's your floor. Go right ahead.
The baloney speech. Election after election, career politicians like Charlie Crist and Jim Davis raised tens of millions of dollars to tell you what a difference they're going to make if we elect them to office just one more time. Yet all of us know they are the ones who created this mess. Charlie Crist has been in office for over 20 years. He was the education commissioner. As attorney general, he was one of three members on the Florida cabinet overseeing the insurance crisis for the last 4 years. Yet today, he tells us how he's going to improve education in the insurance crisis, while he receives campaign contributions from the insurance companies themselves. This year, he's expected to raise upwards of $40 to $50 million, receiving ongoing contributions from insurance companies, pharmaceutical companies, oil companies, big developers, even Donald Trump. It will be no surprise to Florida citizens who Charlie Crist is going to represent if he's elected. Jim Davis, on the other hand, missed more sessions in Congress than anybody else, and what we elected him for is to represent us. This is totally irresponsible. But he did show up for one vote. It was the Patriots Act, which in my opinion flies in direct opposition of the Constitution. Then he happened to show up one more time and vote against the purchase of low-cost drugs from Canada for seniors. You see, my friends, career politicians who do little other than run for one office after another cannot understand our issues and our needs because they're living under a totally set of different rules. Charlie Crist has never even owned a home, paid an insurance bill, or a property tax bill in his entire life. You see, our experiences and hardships are not theirs. Unfortunately, the two parties have merged into one that represent big business, big money interests, and not the citizens of Florida. And for me, it's one word, and it's not like the French pâté they have at their $1,000 plate fundraisers. The word is baloney. So the next time you see one of their TV spots suggesting they're best at managing your money, just say baloney. And the next time you see them on the TV saying they're going to improve your education, just say baloney. And the next time they say they're going to fix the insurance crisis and lower your property taxes, I say just say baloney again. And folks, with all that baloney, I think we might just have enough for a sandwich that all Floridians, not just the big money interests, can get a bite of. So the next time that perfect-looking politician makes another campaign promise and takes us for granted just because we're a member of the Republican or Democratic Party, you can tell them that Max Lynn, the third-party candidate, says baloney. So I'll leave you on that note, Guy.
Max, thanks so much for being on the Guy James Show.
Thanks so much, buddy.
And good luck to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, can he talk or what? Yeah, makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. Don't agree with everything he has to say, but it makes a lot of sense. Gee whiz, he brought up something interesting about Charlie Crist there. Did you hear that? And let me, we didn't go into detail about it, and I got the feeling that maybe he didn't, might not have wanted to, but I have several contacts, let's say, today, and from people who pretty well know that when Charlie was in the state legislature of Florida, and again, I think he ought to be perfectly honest. I think you need to be honest as a candidate that when Charlie was a legislator and lived in Tallahassee, he had a roommate there. And his roommate was one Mark Foley. So I just believe in having everything out in the open, and people should know that. Okay? In the interest of honesty and integrity, I do not care what, so you know me long enough now, I do not give a damn what somebody's sexual persuasion is. Doesn't matter to me whatsoever. But let's just everybody be up front. Let's not be hiding in the closets and worrying about, let's just put it out there. That way, we can all sit down to table, talk to one another, and know that we're just telling each other the truth when the conversation goes around the table. So, that's what I'm interested in. It really is. I think we should probably stop for a break right now. I think we will do that. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
I've been working on vacation all the summer long. Doing some intense relaxing just to keep our country strong. I've been seeing Condoleezza, Donald Rumsfeld too. Fox News said I'm still the greatest, so I guess it must be true. Iraq is going well, liberal doesn't sell, Bolton's in New York. I sit back and beam, Roberts is supreme, my revenge for Bork.
Someone's been removing some brushweed. That someone is me. Someone's been removing some brushweed. The burden of the presidency. It's tough work being a president. Got all that hoeing and raking. I've been working on vacation, chasing hares and moles. Cindy, she had not withstanding, and I never read the polls. What's the point? I've made no mistakes I know of. That's just not like me. I subscribe to presidential infallibility. Intelligent design, the notion seems divine. Science must be wrong, wrong, wrong. The world's initial phase took place in 7 days. I knew it all along. I read the Bible. Next year I won't take 5 weeks. Next year I'll take 666. I need time to plan Iran's invasion and to get my barbecue fixed. I keep burning all my dogs.
Hey, we're back with the Guy James Show. Got about 25 minutes left and got people on the phone lines. And let me apologize to the people on the phone lines. I'm going to be just a couple minutes here, okay? Just hang on. And I got a couple of things I got to say while this this whole story is a big deal right now. You know, for 4 years now, I've been speaking to you about what I perceive to be the most immoral, inept, and incompetent administration in our history. And I've chronicled and I've verified a huge variety of charges against these people, actions that would have brought down almost any other administration in our nation's history. But somehow they've managed to survive. And their inability to protect us from terrorists when they all but knew we were going to be attacked. They're ginning up false charges about WMDs to use as an excuse for invading Iraq. The lies that were told to get us involved in the Bush-Iraq war. Very immoral acts, horrendous betrayal of the American people, and terrible, terrible, vile acts committed toward innocent Iraqi people. We've spoken on this program many times about the graft and corruption taking place amongst the Bush cronies who have literally stolen billions of dollars from our national treasury with virtually no oversight. And we've spoken of a totally inept Department of Defense, a Department of Defense who sent ill-equipped American soldiers into Iraq, military personnel without the proper body armor and vehicles that would protect them from harm. And how many died because of that? And how many have been maimed for life because of that? And our Department of Defense sent in a force far too small to win their ill-conceived war, despite the protests and objections of the Pentagon's many generals who said they needed more troops. This, too, has caused the lives of many of our soldiers. We've seen this administration viciously attack any and all who dared to speak out against their ill-conceived war plans and their lies. Valerie Plame was outed by this administration with the sole purpose of retribution against her husband, Joe Wilson, for telling the truth about their damned yellow cake uranium lie. We've heard mission accomplished. Good job, Brownie, after a total government meltdown after Hurricane Katrina. We've seen the Tom DeLay scandal, the Jack Abramoff scandal, Duke Cunningham running his own extortion game for profit. Bob Ney, really too many to mention right now. Don't have time left in the program to talk about all the scandals and incompetence of this administration. I'm sure I've left a lot of them out, and I can't talk about all of them. I don't have time, but tax cuts for the rich at the expense of the hardworking Americans who work for a living. The ban on stem cell research, the bankruptcy bill, the Patriot Act, Abu Ghraib, and up to this point, the worst act of all that was the passage of that torture bill last week, which in my opinion automatically precludes anyone who voted for being a human, well, for even being a decent human being, let alone being a patriotic American. All this and more. And there are not enough negative adjectives to describe the filth, the corruption, and the incompetence of this vile group of neocon Republicans. I really didn't think they could sink any lower. In fact, on one of last week's programs, I believe I said after passing the torture bill, they finally reached the bottom of human indecency. Well, I was wrong. I admit that I was giving them way too much credit. I just didn't realize that there is no limit to the indecency these people will sanction. They're beyond corrupt and indecent. There is no word to describe the kind of immorality that these people will sanction. You know, many, many, many people, myself included, and lots of you have known for a long time that Congressman Foley was most likely a homosexual. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I have no problem with a man or woman being gay. What I do have a problem with is pandering to the evangelical movement, condemning gays while knowing that there are gays amongst your ranks. What terrible hypocrisy. Proffering legislation against child predators and child molesters while being one yourself. In and of itself, that's pretty damn bad and should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Should these charges against Foley be true, and there's now plenty of other underage pages coming out and saying he tried to solicit them into gay sex, well, it certainly appears that he's guilty of what he's been accused of. And I think his sudden resignation is proof enough for me. All of this is beyond indecent. You've got to admit that. But now, absolutely incredibly, we find that Republican Mark Foley has been known to have been a child molester for a year or more, known to the leadership of the Republican Party. The man is a sexual predator, is a United States congressman, or was, has been questioned about his actions by a committee of Republicans who didn't bother to mention the questioning to the lone Democrat on the committee, which looks after the congressional pages. They knew the man was a child molester, and they still backed him for re-election. They knew he was soliciting sex from kids and kept him in their good graces. The Speaker of the House says he didn't know about it, and yet the committee that questioned Foley about his crime say they alerted the Speaker's office to the incident. What are the chances? Somebody tell me, what are the chances that Speaker Hastert's staff didn't tell him that there was a child molester amongst their ranks? And he says he doesn't recall any such thing being mentioned to him. Oh, please. Please, let's make this perfectly clear. The Republican leadership knew. They absolutely knew a sexual predator who wanted to have sex with underage boys who'd been sent to Congress to learn and to serve. They knew Republican Congressman Foley was engaging in this activity, and they gave him a pass. Let me ask the obvious question. If anyone at all, any member of the Republican Party has knowledge that a sexual predator who wants to have illicit sex with young underage boys is serving in the United States Congress and doesn't report it to authorities, if any member of the Republican Party is guilty of having knowledge of this and didn't lift a finger to throw this filthy bastard down the front steps of the Capitol building, then the Republican Party member is just as guilty as Republican Congressman Foley. They tried to hide the NIE report. They have hidden the results of Cheney's energy meetings. They've hidden the true cost of the war. They've lied over and over again about the real situation in Iraq, and now this. After all of this, one thing should be abundantly clear. The only thing the Republicans in power care about is protecting their power, whether that be an alleged child predator or an entire country's predator. It doesn't make any difference to them. Former Republican Congressman Mark Foley's folly with teens should remain the prime illustration of everything that is wrong with the GOP right now. All this week, we're hearing Hannity and Limbaugh and the others dig into their closets of disinformation and try and compare this to the indiscretions of Bill Clinton. Clinton's immoral acts with a female was not underage, by the way. She was not. Clinton was wrong. He was very wrong. And all of us will admit that, but it was sex between two consenting adults. But it was wrong. Let me just ask a straight-up question of all of our Republican friends. Would you let Mark Foley babysit your kids? And knowing that Denny Hastert, John Boehner, and the rest of the Republican good old boys allowed Republican Congressman Foley to stay in Congress, knowing his appetite for young boys? This is the same Foley who had introduced legislation in July to protect children from exploitation by adults over the internet. And this is the same Foley who said that we track library books better than we do sexual predators. Certainly Foley ought to know. You have to wonder how long he's been getting away with this and just how far he's gotten with his sick, perverted desires. But the office of House Speaker Hastert, who earlier said he'd learned about the emails only last week, admitted sending the information to the authorities last fall. They said they were only told the messages were over-friendly. Focus on the family members. James Dobson told you this week it'd be downright frightening if Republicans lost control of Congress. Every single voter needs to ask him or herself which politicians are really downright frightening. All I'm saying is that you need to look at the kids around you. Look at the young adults of military age. Look at them and tell me truthfully if you can really trust anybody from the Republican Party to protect our kids, our military personnel, and the rest of our citizens. After all we've seen of this Bush administration and their neocon friends in Congress, the obvious answer to that question is no. They cannot be trusted under any circumstances. They are not protecting any Americans. Nobody. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello? Well, caller's not there. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Good afternoon, Guy. Bill from Toledo. Somehow we got disconnected there.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, listen, the rendition. Let's find out what this Hassard and Boehner know.
Yeah.
I mean, they passed that bill.
We've got ways of finding out. There's got to be some kind of national security involved in this, doesn't there?
Is there any of those planes that we can take and get and put them on, send them where, Eastern Europe?
Yeah, maybe to
Syria.
Egypt. We'll get the answers out of them.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, it's not going to be that harsh.
No.
You know, they voted for this bill. You know, I said a guy there, I don't know, maybe 3-4 months ago, I think you maybe remember, I said they're just one step ahead of a child molester. Well, I was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was wrong.
You were.
Just unbelievable. I mean, guys, something else I wanted to touch on, too, is that Woodward. How late does that guy come to his parties, to a party he's invited to? Can you believe that?
I know.
This book.
I know.
Here he puts this other book out. It was on the re-election website for Bush. You know, it was recommended reading.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, this Guy, do you read that Huffington Post?
Very rarely.
Don't you? I've seen some good stuff on there this weekend. And it was talking about, about this Woodward book and this guy coming out so late on this. And, was that a surprise to you, Guy, that that July 10th meeting?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not in the least. Nothing really surprises me anymore
Not anymore, does it?
No.
I'm just wondering about that. That just keeps putting icing on top of this cake. And, Bush taking the longest vacation of any president in history, waiting for this thing to happen. I just can't come to any other conclusion.
I know.
I mean, I'm not saying that they knew that them two towers were going to fall, or even that those two towers were going to get hit. I'm not saying any of that. I will never. I'd have to see the evidence on that. Maybe some rendition is in the order. I don't know.
Well, I can drop a dime on you and make sure they you up.
Here we go. I believe I've already had a roll of dimes dropped on me.
Hey, I was wrong. It's a quarter nowadays, isn't it?
That's right. Jesus, here we go back into the 60s again.
My wife and I were just talking about that. We went we went out and had a bite to eat the other night, and on the way home, she says, oh, I need a Dairy Queen. So we stopped and got an ice cream cone. And chintzy me, like I always am, and she would tell you this is so true about me. Uh-huh. We get these little ice cream cones. They're medium.
Uh-huh.
And they're, what, $1.69?
Oh, my God.
And I said, you know, I remember when this exact cone was a nickel.
Yeah, exactly. To take you off of the ice cream, but I can remember when I was with a few of my friends, and we'd drop a dime into the payphone. And at the time the dime was going down, you take your hand off, and with the palm of your hand, hit the coin return button.
Oh.
And that coin had dropped down, and you had your dial tone. And we used to, there'd be three or four of us standing around one of these phones, and we'd see who could get the dial tone the most times in a row.
I never knew that one.
Absolutely.
Of course, I'm not a big city boy like you.
But, you know, I just, on that Woodward book, and then, what a weekend. I told you, guy, we got to have you on 5 days a week.
Yeah, I know, we need to do that.
People that are listening out there, I want to tell you, they listen to our other talk shows, but just remember, you're only getting out of a half hour, you're maybe getting about 14 or 13 minutes of good talk radio, which it isn't as good as yours, that's a fact, but they're not getting anything. Here, we get to talk to you, guy, and we get half an hour, and sometimes you go over half hour, and it just keeps on a rolling. These people that are listening to you, and then they're not sending those checks in and getting you on 5 days a week. I'll tell you what, the money that I've sent you, and I haven't sent you very much, I'll tell everybody that, but what I do send you is the best money that I spend every month.
Well, Bill, I really appreciate that. I sincerely do. And
listen, take another caller, guy.
Thanks for the good call.
Okay.
The Toledo Flesh, Bill. Right up there near the Michigan border. In fact, part of Toledo is right on the Michigan border. The northern suburb there called Sylvania. It actually borders that state up north of Michigan there. And by the way, my beloved Ohio State Buckeyes did a pretty good job this past weekend. And our friend up in Michigan who regularly writes wanted me to acknowledge that the meat chicken people did okay too. So they did, I guess, a little bit. Anyway. staying on this subject, you know, I don't have near enough time today, not near enough time to go through everything I wanted to talk about today. I think one of the worst transgressions of this whole Mark Foley mess, and again, this is not about Mark Foley being gay. It is not at all. It's the cover-up. Now we find out that Mark Foley's former chief of staff, and I think this is going to blow this sky high, his former chief of staff, Kirk Fordham, is currently the chief of staff for the National Republican Congressional Committee chairman, Tom Reynolds. Got that? He's ahead of trying to get Republicans reelected and elected, Tom Reynolds. So the chief of staff of Foley used to have is now the chief of staff for the National Republican Congressional Committee chairman, Tom Reynolds. And the Palm Beach Post is now reporting that when the Foley story was first made public, this chief of staff, Fordham, was loaned back to Foley by Tom Reynolds. This is when we knew about the emails, but not the instant messages. Supposedly, this was done so Fordham could give Foley advice on how to handle this mess. This is what the Palm Beach Post said. Kirk Fordham, who worked as Foley's chief of staff for 10 years, returned to Foley's side to advise him during the past couple of days. He has the ability to look forward and see how things play out, Fordham said. He wanted to do what was right for his family and for his district. So you ask, what's the big deal about this? It's because of this report yesterday from Howard Kurtz. And I quote, on Friday afternoon, a strategist for Republican Mark Foley tried to cut a deal with ABC's Brian Ross. Imagine this. The correspondent, who had dozens of instant messages that Foley sent to teen house pages, had asked to interview the Florida Republican. Well, Foley's former chief of staff said the congressman was quitting and that Ross could have that information exclusively if he agreed not to publish the raw, sexually explicit messages. Ross told him, I'm not making any deals. He says the internet made the story possible because on Thursday he posted a story on his ABC webpage, The Blotter, after obtaining one milder email that Foley had sent a 16-year-old page asking for a picture, and within 2 hours, former pages had emailed Ross and provided the salacious messages. The only question then, says Ross, was whether this could be authenticated. What does all this mean? It's simple, actually. If Foley's former chief of staff really did try and cut a deal for Foley, and since Fordham is currently the chief of staff for Tom Reynolds, then doesn't that necessarily mean that Republican congressmen knew of his action and gave tacit approval to cover up this entire incident from the American public, which has a right to know if one of their United States congressmen is a pedophile or not? Could anybody really say that Fordham wasn't trying to bribe Brian Ross? It seems to me that the FBI should start their investigation by putting Reynolds and Fordham under oath immediately. How does Dennis Hastert stay on as Speaker of the House when many of his people, like Michael Reagan and others, are asking for his head? And did you watch Joe Scarborough last night? Him and Hastert have been friends for 12 years, and Scarborough said this: "Reading the first set of emails made me uneasy. My friends who knew Mark and I got on the phone and wondered aloud why he would ask a high school kid for a picture. Where was the Republican leadership over the past year? They knew of Mark's inappropriate emails to a former page, but never informed Democratic leaders so they could warn those pages they had brought to Washington. How could the Speaker of the House," this is Scarborough talking, "how could the Speaker of the House not remember being told by the chairman of the Republican Congressional Committee that Foley had been confronted with this inappropriate email by a male intern? Does this happen so often in Congress that it was no big deal to Denny Hastert? To those of you who have seen Hastert on TV, don't you think he looks the part of a guy who realizes he's about to be thrown out on his ass? And Boehner along with him, and maybe a few other Republicans who've done their utmost to keep this thing covered up. I mean, the guy is claiming that maybe he was told about this after all, but probably forgot about it after a long day in the House. Let me ask you, Mr. Speaker, how many times does a fellow House member come to you and report to you that one of your colleagues is a pervert? Wouldn't you remember something like that over and above the legislation you worked on that day? Don't you think you would? I mean, you worked on highway legislation that day and, Clean Water Acts and this, and some guy comes up to you and says, so-and-so in the Congress, one of our fellow congressmen, is a pervert. Don't you think you'd remember that over clean air or clean water for that particular day? So at least Hastert and Boehner and Representative Reynolds have to go, and all the others who knew about this sort of little mess as well. Once again, here we are in Washington, D.C., where they never seem to learn it's not about the crime, it's about the cover-up. Always the cover-up. Hey, and things are looking up. We got 7 key Senate races right now, and I'm very encouraged about them. In Maryland, Cardin is leading Michael. Cardin's leading 47-41 in Missouri. McCaskill's leading talent. Well, they're tied 43-43 all. In New Jersey, Menendez 44, Keene 41. In Pennsylvania, Casey 49, Santorum 40. Rhode Island, White House 42, Lincoln Chafee 41. In Virginia, Webb and George Allen, Mr. Makaka himself, tied at 43 all. And in Washington, Maria Cantwell 50, and McGavrick 40. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 races. We need to win 6 of those. And I think it's entirely possible. And I believe we will win the House. And if we win the House and we take the Senate, then it's up to you and I to take over at that point. Then it's up to you and I to get busy when we take the House and the Senate and start working over our people, our Democrats, and call for the impeachment of this administration. Because no presidential administration in history has deserved it more. It's been filth. It's been corruption. It's been a nonstop stream of lies and corruption. And oh yes, I forgot about Ohio. Brown is leading DeWine. So we could well take the House and the Senate. And if we do, the Democrats need to get serious about it. You know, and I know, that our grassroots people out here want this administration run out of town on a rail. And it would be a great thing for the future of this country. I don't want an impeachment trial any more than anybody else. I don't. But it would be a great thing for our future if this new Democratic Congress, and I hope and pray we have a new Democratic Congress, but if we get one, it'd be a great thing for the future of this country if they would show and come down hard on these people, so hard that no politician in the future of this country would ever consider trying to do the same things over again. We just might clean house and make the penalties so harsh, so tough, and humiliate these people and put them where they ought to be, some of them in prison even, that no administration would ever try to run roughshod over the people with lies, distortion, and corruption again. That'd be a good thing for America, don't you think? Hey, you're listening to the Head On Radio Network, the Guy James Show. Stay tuned for Bruce Birch coming up, in about 20 seconds until 7 o'clock, and then Bob Kincaid from 7 to 10 after that. Don't miss either one of those shows. You'll be glad you listened to them. This is Guy James. I'll see you tomorrow.